Good morning. While we're waiting for the youngsters to go downstairs, you know, you guys got to pray for me. I got a drinking problem, a bad drinking problem. I spill drink on my coffee, drink on my Bible, drink on the table. Went upstairs, spilled coffee all over. That's what I'm talking about, coffee. All over everything. My wife says she can see where I'm going in the morning because she just follows the trail of coffee on the floor. I got it bad. I got it. Every time I lift a cup to my mouth, I take a chance on getting it all over me. I guess I can get it in me one way or another. I'm just clumsy. Well, I'm glad to see everybody today. It's a wonderful sunny morning today. The Lord has blessed us with. And today I just want to talk to you a few minutes about love. If you hadn't already guessed it through our songs today, that's what we want to talk about. And I would like to direct you to 1 John chapter 4. And we'll be going, hitting different verses here, but chapter 7, verse 7 would be the first one. But you know, the devil has many ways of keeping us separate from the Lord. And the easiest way to do this is by helping us to hate, presenting us with reasons to do so a lot of times. You know, we have this one person that really gets us and, you know, it just causes us to. The devil's always putting things before us Christians to try to get us to stumble, to try to get us to hate, have people do bad things to us. Along those lines as well. Or sometimes when the devil knows you dislike something, he presents you with that a lot to try to get an effect from it. You hear people say they are Christian, but they hate a certain person or people. And you know, love is at the very root of being a Christian. In 1 John 4 and 7, he says, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." And he goes on in verse 8 and says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." His love is so great for us, he loved us well before we were all born. And one of the ways I know this is this book right here. Thousands of years. All the stories, everything we need to know about God, he did it for us. You know, the people in Jesus' time and before that, they didn't have this book. But God loved us so much, he put it all in writing. Everything we need to know, everything we want to understand about pleasing God, about being with God, is right here. We are so blessed in this day and age to have this book. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Yes, the Lord loves us so much. All this was in the plan, as a matter of fact, from the very beginning. That just shows how much love the Lord has for us. Verse 16, he says, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." Love is one of the most important. You find it throughout Scripture. It is impossible to please God without love. It's impossible to please God without sincerity. And we need to fully understand that. Without love, we cannot do fully what our Heavenly Father wants and expects us to do. Satan tweaks our feelings just enough so that we think we will get away with just a little hate. We love most people. Is that enough? We're told to love all people. And here's the best example in the world. Christ was treated very cruelly. All the suffering that we saw him go through, even being hung on the cross, and yet he still loved. And a lot of people miss that, but that's an example for us. Has anybody nailed you to the cross? Has anybody scourged you or put a crown of thorns on your head? No. He went through all that and still loved. Sometimes the people do least little things to us, and we're willing to have a little hate. But that's not what we're supposed to do. Christ, when he came on earth in the flesh, one of the things he was to do was to set the example for us. And no matter how much suffering he went through, he always loved. Love is the cornerstone of our faith. In order to be part of what love has built, you must be in line with the chief cornerstone, which is Christ, who is love. And if we were to take the word love and to break it down letter by letter, the L would be for long suffering. Psalms 145 and 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love." I had heard people say the Lord of the Old Testament was an angry God, who killed and showed no mercy. But I would have you to know that the Lord was long-suffering with the Israelites and with the world. In Lamentations 3 and 22, when they were in exile, it says, the writer says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed." Even though they were being punished, the Lord could have destroyed them off the face of the earth, but because of his love, that did not happen. And it wasn't just the Israelites that the Lord loved. He had always left room open for the Gentiles. I didn't have time to look it up in the law. But even in the law, when the Lord talked about people worshiping him, Gentiles, strangers in the land, that they had to do it in the same way the Israelites did. So he did leave the road open at all times. He also dealt with other people in the Bible that was not Israelites. He dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar sat there and he thought he was somebody great. God put him on his knees. God made him eat grass like the beast in the fields, put hair all over his body. And then God eventually, if you read that in Daniel 4, restored him. Could have killed him. But he acknowledged who God was after that. He acknowledged that God was the supreme being, not Nebuchadnezzar. Because Nebuchadnezzar thought he was something great before all this happened. God put him on his knees, like I said, humbled him. And he praised God before it was over. And God restored his kingdom to him. God has also been in the picture with other kings. He has sent Elijah to go anoint the king of Syria, who was not an Israelite. He's always been, the plan always been throughout history, always had love for everyone. And again, our Lord sent judges and prophets to warn the people to turn back to God. And even when they were punished, he offered them a way back to him. That's love. And these were people, just like us today, who completely lost God, who were going through the motions with God. We're actually sitting up there maybe giving other gods and other people more prominence than God. Yet God loved them so much that he would punish them, but he was also offered them a way back to him. You know, we woke up today not because of the good that we have done. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 10, it says, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, shall say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" God let us wake up this morning because his love for us, not for anything that we've done that we feel is good. Anything we do as Christians, we're only doing what we're supposed to do. You know, it's funny. I hear some guys where I grow up, they hold their chest out high. I just paid child support. I paid every... Well, goody for you. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, you don't get a reward for that. You made them. But, you know, let's put it where it is. God wakes us up this morning. God allows us to live. God gives us a second chance each and every day. You know, we may have done something good during the day. We might have done 10 things bad, too. God's there. His love is there. He gives us another chance. Such a wonderful God, and I tell you, I'm so glad I'm a part of this Christian organization. And if I was to take the letter O, it would be for obedience. If we could turn real quick to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. I just wanted to read this. I can give you all the other verses if you would like after this is over. But in verse 8, and he's talking about Jesus, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus learned obedience. Jesus was obedient to the Father. He was obedient always, even as a boy. He said in Luke 2 and 49, after being found by his parents, why were you searching for me? Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? King James Version said, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? Jesus, as a boy, was obedient. He was obedient throughout his human life, even when he knew what was about to happen and all the suffering he was about to go through. Jesus said in Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was obedient till death. In 1 John 5 and 3 it says, this is love for God, to obey his command. 2 John 1 and 6 says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And if I had to use, and I was going to use the letter B, that would be value. Our Lord finds value in us and is patient with us. 2 Peter 3 and 9 reads, the Lord is not slow keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord finds value in everybody. The Lord doesn't want to destroy anybody. He wants everybody to be with him one day. That's why he's long-suffering with us. And you know, Jesus didn't sit or hang out with the rich and the powerful, the movers and the shakers. They had no time for people that were below them. But Jesus found value in the poor, the weak, the unhealthy, the unclean, the sinner. Jesus went to the Samaritans, and many of them believed. In John 3, that was in John 3, the centurion, in Luke 7, the Canaanite woman, in Matthew chapter 15. He found value in people. He wasn't just here for a specific group. He was here for all. He died for all. As Christians, we need to see the value in everyone too. Whether they are a different race, from a different country, a different social class, our love should be shown to all. Like all the examples that Christ gave us, and there are many, Christ never turned anyone down. There's 5,000 people there. He fed them. At a different time, 4,000. He fed them. He healed people. He was always there. His love was always being shown, night and day, no matter where he went. And that is, as I said before, that is, he did all that stuff as an example for us to do as well. Like I said, love is the basis that this is all surrounded by. God's love for us, his son's love for us, our love for a man. I mean, our love to try to help people come to Christ. And if I had to take the word, the letter E, that would be for evidence. If you were on trial for love, and I know you've heard this before, could you be convicted? Or would they just have to send you home? Could you be convicted? We know the Lord loves us. The Bible says we know that he sacrificed his son. And we know he loves us because we're sitting here right now, still alive. God is still giving us an opportunity to change our lives. Each and every day we wake up, that's out of love. That's God long-suffering with us, trying, giving us another day, another chance, another minute, another hour, just to straighten our lives out so that we could be with him. You know, this Bible right here for us Christians, this should be a mirror for us. And I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me when it comes down to this. But when I look in this mirror right here and compare my life to it, what I see sometimes scares me. It really does. It shows me how far I need to go sometimes. It shows me where I need to be. This book, you know, a lot of people don't want to look in the mirror because they don't want to know this. It's like some people don't want to know how old they're looking, so they won't look in the mirror, or how this or that they look, they don't want to look in the mirror. Some people don't want to know that they're doing wrong, that their lives are going in the wrong direction, and they won't open this book. No. Loving the Lord, loving his son, wanting to be with them means you have to look in this book. Means you have to look in the mirror of your heart and search it out and see where you stand. You know, there are those who aren't baptized, and I don't know if there's any that are here today that are not baptized, but I can tell you this much. If you love the Lord, you know, Jesus said, and we talked about this earlier this morning in Mark, chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. It's something that you must do. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he said, I am here to stand at the door knocking. And he's talking about the door of our hearts. And you know that Jesus is going to stand there day and night. He's going to stand there through the rain and through the sun, through the heat and through the cold. He's standing there every day, untiring, knocking at the door of our hearts. He's not going to kick that door in. He's not going to open that door himself. He needs you to open it with a sincere heart and let him in. And he says he will sup with you and you with him. And what a wonderful thing that would be. And those of us who are Christians who may have fallen away, same thing here. Jesus is still knocking on the door. Let me back in. Let me sup with you once more. Long suffering. God's love for us, His Son's love for us, each and every day we live is a blessing. Each and every day we live, and I know some of us live with a lot of pain, but each and every day we have another chance to do something good, another chance to tell someone something. You know, a lot of us, we all have lived this past week, and we're all able to contribute with the fair. And we sit up there and say, well, we don't know what's going to happen, but you know, the Lord always plants seeds. He doesn't do anything huge like we would like to think. Sometimes it's real small. Something Bill might have said, something somebody else might have said. It might not mean nothing to him right now, but 2 months from now, that seed might germinate inside their mind. We never know. We're just supposed to go ahead and do. We're supposed to go ahead and preach God's word, show God's love through us. And let the Lord worry about the rest. You know, I think I can't remember what it says, but Paul once says that Apollo planted, or Paul planted, one of them planted, one of them watered, but God gives the increase. Do what you're supposed to do. Love everyone. If you don't have a problem with loving everyone, you search your heart. Always find the good. There's always good in everyone. Search that out. A lot of times we're willing to look at the bad side, but we're not willing to look at the good side. There's always good. You build on the good. But keep this in mind. And please look in that mirror. Please ask yourself, am I doing what the Lord would have me do? Am I loving the way that the Lord would have me love? And if you haven't, please come up as we sing this very well-appropriate song, Love Lifted Me. Because sometimes, you know, we are sinking deep in sin. But the Lord is always there for us.